Daf Beis, Amud Aleph and Beis. Being quick to build and slow to break, Lefi She'en Bekiyin Lishma. So it's wonderful that we are starting a new Masechet and a new whole area of Shas, of the Talmud, of Halacha. Gittin is a world of its own that we'll be going into, and we'll already get a taste today of how unique it is, how different it is, where it takes our minds and our sense of being. The next five are Masechtas that have been studied in every yeshiva for centuries and centuries, generations, generations. Some of the Masechtas we've just learned aren't always studied as much. But Gittin, Kiddushin, and then Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, these are every yeshiva bocher knows these Masechtas, and hundreds of volumes are written on every single page from the time of the Rishonim to the time of the Acharonim. It's just the core of halachic reasoning, of Talmudic reasoning, in these five Masechtas that we have before us. And Emet Hashem, we should have the bracha to find something fresh and new on every daf, as we have previously, even though so much has already been written and said and taught on these Masechtas, to be able to find an approach, an insight, something that we can take out of each daf. And here, the idea that we'll pull out of this piece of Gemara and thereby understand the introduction to Gittin is that we know how long it takes to build anything. Build a house, it's brick after brick, layer after layer. It takes a long time to build a house. To build a relationship takes a long time. It can take decades to really build a relationship. Anything we build, building a body of knowledge, building expertise, these things take a long, long time. They can be destroyed in an instant. That's the nature of destruction. You can destroy that which has taken decades to build, you can destroy in an instant. But that means you can be quick to build and slow to destroy. Because a decision to build, you don't have to think about a long time. Because you've got time to back out of it. Building takes time, so you can make a decision to go forward with a new project. If it's not the right project or circumstances change, you'll adjust, you'll make changes. This time, building is slow. And if it's slow, you can commit to building much quicker. Destruction is instant. So before you do something destructive, we need time. And that's something we need to think about very deliberately and very carefully. Now, with that understanding, let's go into the Masechta. Firstly, the fact that there's such a thing as a get, as a divorce in Jewish law, in Torah, is an amazing kiddush. It's an amazing idea. And you know how other religions struggle with that idea. It's a marriage which Hashem is involved in putting together. How can somebody just decide to terminate it, to end it? But we see the Torah builds that in and gives the man the right, just as in marriage, we're talking conceptually. Practically, if the woman has to be involved and it has to be with her permission, and we know all the many laws from a practical perspective, but conceptually, the man can wake up one day and write a 12-lined get and hand it to her, and marriage is over, done. That's all. That's all that needs to happen, and that's important for her security, because marriage is not about physical security. Physical security, the girl's father can give her. He can give her a trust fund, and she's got financial security. That's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about emotional security, and part of emotional security is for the woman to know every day of the marriage he has recommitted, because if he hadn't recommitted, he could have walked out. The easier you make it for him to walk out, the more valuable is his staying in. And that's very important. That should be very important to a woman. The fact that my husband is still with me means he adores me still, he loves me still, and he's made a recommit. Every day is a recommitment, because every day the husband could theoretically say to him, should I walk out or stay in? And your decision is to stay in. That's a commitment. So if there's not a divorce, there's only one commitment. You make a commitment under the chuppah and that's it. There's not another commitment. And now why are you still married? Because I'm committed. What can I do? So there is an element of commitment, but there's also an element with the ease of get, the simplicity of get, is to give the woman that sense of, if he wanted to leave you, he would have left you. The fact that he's here is because he wants to be here. That's the concept, one of the concepts behind get. Because if you look at the Pasuk in the Torah, it's so simple, and yet we see implied in the Pasuk some very unique qualities about this process. Ki yikach ish isha uva'alai, in Parshas Ki Tetzi, if a man takes a woman, marries a woman, and lives with her, v'ayayim lo timsachim b'enav ki matzah b'ervat davar, if he finds that there's something wrong morally, ethically, in the way she operates, and he decides he no longer wants to be married to her, v'chatav la sefer kritut v'natan biyada, he writes a book of separation, gives it into her hand, v'shilcham bibeito, and sends her away from the house. Rashi, interestingly, says this includes a sotah shenistara. So it's interesting that Rashi helps us understand the flow from sotah to gittin. In sotah, we learned if a man is suspected his wife has been unfaithful, that's ervat davar. So now he can't live with her until it's been clarified. If it's never clarified, he has to divorce her. So that's the continuation here. In Unklus and Targum Yonatan, we have, just in the translation, we have two philosophies of get. Targum Unklus uses the word get peturin, patur. Release her, let her go. That's what the get does. She's locked into her marriage. Until you let her go, she can't walk out. Again, conceptually, the marriage is in the husband's hands. He marries. A rabbi doesn't marry a couple. A man marries a wife. A Beis Din doesn't divorce a couple. A man divorces a wife. And the fact that it's in his hand means she's locked in. Give her a get pturin, let her go. Give her freedom. V'yifterena mibeite, and give her the right to leave the house. Whereas Targum Yonason says, v'yichtev lo sefer teruchin. Teruchin means separation. So that's more of separation. V'yitayel yata mibeite, and walk her out of your house. So with the Targum Yonason, get is much more about fire her, get terminate this. Whereas according to Unkelus, it's more let her go, and unlock her. The Meshech Chochma just points out, and just remember these words, v'chatav la, and write to her. What do we see in the words of the psukim? We already see the uniqueness of Gittin. V'chatav la, you've got to write to her. This is a letter. Get is not a bureaucratic document. V'chatav la, write her a letter. This is a personal letter you're writing to her. And it's a sefer kritut. Why is it called a sefer? But we'll see. The Meshech Chochma says, "Mi omek hapshat sheyichtov la." From the depth of the pshat, there's something very deep in this phrase, says the Meshech Chochma. From there, we learn to the Torah kritut ishuta, that the way you terminate the intimacy of marriage is with katav la lishma. Write the letter to her. This is communication, direct communication between husband and wife. This is not sending her a text message and say it's over. This is writing her a clearly defined letter and having the full intention while you're writing it on. And that intentionality of get is where the Masechta opens up. Now, it starts with Hamevi get mimdinat hayam. If a person, a shaliach, brings a get from overseas, so a wife is in Yerushalayim and the husband is in Australia and he's decided he wants to terminate the marriage and he wants to send her a get. So he can use a shaliach. As with everything in the Torah, shlucho shel adam kamoto, he can use a shaliach. But that's a long process. So we're dealing with that length of time from the writing of the get to the delivery of the get, which could be very short. She could be present in Beis Din. He writes the get and hands it to her. It takes a few minutes. Or it could be months. He could write the get in Australia and then go by ship. Anybody who's traveled to Australia, even by air, knows how far it is. By ship, let's imagine what that was, months and months and months, from the writing of the get to the delivery of the get. There's a long period of time. When the shliach brings this get to Yerushalayim from Australia, he doesn't just hand it to her in front of Beis Din, but tzarich shiomar b'fanai nichtav b'fanai nichtam. This get was written and signed in my presence. He's got to say that. So he's doing more than just delivering the get. He's actually giving some form of evidence on the get. And the Gemara goes into the whole question, why is one person sufficient? Why don't we need two? The Gemara says at the bottom of the Amud, my timer, what's the reason he must say that? So we have two views, Rabbah and Rava. Rabbah says, Lefi she'en beki'in lishma. Explains Rashi, because in Australia, they don't understand the importance of writing a get lishma, that there's got to be intentionality. That's unusual in a document. A document, normally a secretary types it out and you sign it and it's done. It's for purposes of record. They don't get it that this is not about record, this is about communication. And the communication starts when he writes the get, him or the sofer writes it on his behalf. That's when the communication begins. And in Australia, I'm not picking on Australia specifically, we're just using it as the example. In the overseas, the people are not as familiar with the details of the laws of Gittin. And so he has to say, before me it was written and signed. And then what happens? It says, Rashi, umamele shailina leim nichtav lishma. And then when he says it, we say, if you were present, did they write it specifically for her? Was there intentionality? So it triggers the Beis Din's questioning of the shliach and leads us to clarification as to whether this get was written with intentionality or not. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos challenges Rashi and says it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you've got to ask him these questions. And if that's the key to it, why don't we say? You must say. If we're telling him what to say, the shliach comes from Australia, we say to him, you've got to say it was not just it was written before me, but it was written lishma, it was written intentionally. Why don't you say that? Why do you have to say it was written before me? And then we have to say, oh, and by the way, was it written intentionally? What's that all about? Doesn't make sense. Therefore, Re says, Rashi's great-grandson, distama lishma kamasid. When he comes to give evidence, it's lishma. He comes as this was written in front of me. And explains the Rashbo, what does that mean? Because he says to himself, why do I have to say it was written in front of me? I'm giving them a get that's signed and sealed by the Australian Beis Din. Why are they asking me whether I was present? Clearly they want to know whether this was all done lishma. So he understands and that in his evidence, he's saying it lishma. It's not that we question him. The mere fact of saying I was present implies, and I know it was done kosher, everything was done correctly, including the lishma, is how the Rashba explains it. But we see from the Ravid writes notes, we've got them on the daffa of the Rif. The back of the Gemara, we've got the Rif, and on the page of the Rif, we've got the notes of the Ravid. And he goes into one of Tosfos's question, why only the lishma? There are many laws about writing the get. What kind of ink was used? What kind of paper was used? Or parchment was used? All sorts of laws that are... Why don't we ask the shliach, was everything kosher? Why do we only pick on one halacha, lishma? Says the Ravid, b'pnei sha'sofrim kotvei tofsim gitin v'shtarot kedei sh'yavor kol ha'tzarich lehem v'yimtza adamar mezuman. You know what the scribes of the Batei Din do. Bureaucrats are bureaucrats. They've got spare time, so they write 10 gitin, so that next time somebody comes in for a get, they can pull one out and say, just sign here on the bottom line. We've got a get ready for you. Fill in the names and sign. Like you do, you go online, you download a form, you fill in the names and you sign. That's not a get, says the Ravid. What we want is to make sure that this is not a bureaucratic document. This is a personal letter that was written with intentionality, just as Lahavdil, one writes a love letter to one's beloved. So in this case, Chas v'Shalom, one writes a letter of termination, but it's a personal letter written from my heart to you, my name to your name, with specific intention. And that leads to an interesting idea that is developed by Rabbi Yoshua Ben Soloveitchik, and these ideas we'll probably use as we go through Gittin, where Rabbi Yoshua Ben Soloveitchik explains that what's unique here about Gittin is it's a long process. The process starts with the writing of the get. The purpose of writing of the get is not to have a record. The purpose of the writing of the get is not to have a document that you hand to her, and that's the kinyan, just like a ring under the chuppah. That's not the purpose. The purpose is that it starts with writing and it ends with handing over, which may be a few minutes and maybe many months. But it's a long process that starts, it's one process, and therefore the ktiva, we see from the fact that the writing has to be lishma, we see from that the writing is important in it and of itself as part of the process of divorce. I'm not writing, it's important to understand that. I'm not writing it in order to have a document. I'm not writing it in order to have a record. My writing it is the beginning of the act of divorce. And just as the act of divorce has to be intentional, so the writing has to be intentional. When you give a ring under the chuppah, it's in an instant. One minute she's not married, and a second later you say, Arad Mekudesh Libetavatu, she's married. It's an instant. Gittin takes a long time. You've got to write it. Sofer has to write it. It has to be signed by Edim. Has to be delivered. That can take a while. There's time in the Gittin. Why is Kiddushin instant? And Gittin, according to the way Rabbi Yoshua Ben Soloveitchik explains it, this is a long process that starts with the writing, and we see that is so because the writing has to be bekavana, the writing has to be lishma. There's got to be intentionality in the writing. Why is it so long? There are many reasons, but based on our opening principle, the Torah is giving us time. Are you sure about this? Take your time. Write her the letter. Spell it out. Sometimes you write a letter, as you clarify it for yourself, you're thinking as you're writing it, do I really want to go ahead with this? And then you give it to the shliach, and the shliach travels to where the woman lives. You've got time to pull him back. Say, don't deliver it, I've changed my mind. You're about to destroy something that took a long time to build. Think about it carefully. Take your time. And that's a life principle. If you're going to start a new project, mitzvah haba liyadcha al tachmitzena, don't delay, don't let it sour on you. You've got an idea, you want to build something, you want to start a business, you want to start a new project, you want to enter into a new relationship, you want to reach out to somebody, you want to call somebody, just do it. Do it. Because when you do something, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It takes a while. But if you're going to break something, give yourself time. That's when you need cooling off time. That's when you need time to be sure about. And we see that already in the way the halachas of Gittin are set up. This machlokas Rashi and Tosfos leads us to another interesting idea which the Radvaz deals with. So according to Rashi, we have to say to him, was this written lishma? How would he know if it was written lishma? The husband and the sofer must have said so. I was present and he said, I'm writing it lishma. He must have said it. According to Tosfos, we don't ask him, was it written lishma? We just assume you're telling us that the whole thing was done. You know how it was done, that it was done well. So according to Tosfos, there may not have been an articulation of lishma, where according to Rashi, there must have been an articulation of lishma. And that leads the Radvaz to deal with a shaila he was asked, do you have to say out, I'm writing this lishma? Or is it enough just to write the get and to have in your mind lishma? Says the Radvaz, that this kol davar shebikdusha kagon sefer Torah tefillin u'mezuzah shitzruchu lishma ena kedusha chala b'machshava levad ela b'dibur. All things of kedusha such as a mezuzah, tefillin, have to be written lishma, but it's not enough just to have the intention. You've actually got to say that it was written lishma. Shadibur oseh roshim gadol, because to infuse an object with kedusha, you need speech. Thought isn't enough. Dibur is powerful. Power is speech. Speech is very, very powerful. You can have destructive force in speech and constructive force in speech. And you can infuse kedusha into an object such as a mezuzah or tefillin, but it has to be with speech. And a get, says the Radvaz we saw in the posuk, is called a sefer. Why is it called a sefer? Like a sefer Torah, there's kedusha in this. This is a letter that a man wrote from his heart. There's sadness in it. This is a living document. This is not a bureaucratic document. As the Ravid says, we don't want the Beis Din to have a pile of these documents and somebody fills in the form and signs them. This has to be written word by word from the husband to the wife, from the man to the woman, pouring out his heart and sadness at breaking something which took years to build. That's what this is. And by declaring that, by saying it out loud, it infuses kedusha. As we said, according to Rashi, there must have been an articulation. According to Tosfos, there isn't, but the Radvaz holds la'alacha. The Radvaz was the chief rabbi of Egypt during the time of the Mechaber, of the Shulchan Aruch. He was the Dayan in Egypt for 40 years. And then he was in Tzfat during the time of the Mechaber for 20 years. So very, very important posek for us. And he paskins that it's not sufficient to have intention. You've actually got to declare your intention, because that infuses kedusha into the object. We need to understand the power of speech, what it is when you talk it out. In Or Chaim, Simen Mem Zayin, there's a machlokes Vilna Gaon and Prima Godim and others as to whether, if you're just thinking in Torah in the morning, I wake up in the morning and I'm preparing in my head the matmonim for the morning, but I haven't said the Birkas HaTorah yet, I haven't made a brocha yet. Says the Vilna Gaon, the mitzvah Talmud Torah v'yigita bo yomam v'laya, is even if you're thinking, you're doing the mitzvah already, so you have to say the brocha. And he therefore disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch, who says, no, you don't have to say a brocha if you're only thinking. Says the Vilna Gaon, you do, even if you're only thinking, you have to say the brocha. Says the Prima Godim, yes, it's a mitzvah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah by thinking in Torah. But you don't say brochas for thoughts. Every brocha that we make is for an action. So if you're writing your chidushin, if I'm printing the source sheet, that's different. I'm doing something physical, I would have to make a Birkas HaTorah. But if I'm just thinking, says the Prima Godim, you don't. So there's a machlokes Vilna Gaon and Prima Godim. But once again, we see there the power of speech. When you're speaking it out, it's not just that it becomes a mitzvah. There's a level of kedusha that needs a brocha. When you say something, it's completely different from thinking it. Yes, there's value in thought. You're thinking in Torah, that's a mitzvah, v'yigita bo yomam v'laila. But it doesn't have the same kedusha as when you're speaking it out. And when you're speaking to another human being, when you're talking to your husband or to your wife or to your children or to your friend or to your colleagues or to your employees, when you're talking, there's power in that speech. you're putting energy into that situation, into that person. If you're writing a sefer, whether it's a mezuzah or tefillin or a get chas v'sholem, the thought is not sufficient. You've got to talk it out, because talking puts kedusha into an object, and that's something we have the power to do. So as we see, and certainly from the way Tosfos understands Rabbah, we're given some cooling off time. To do something, do it quickly, because it takes a long time to do. You've got plenty of time to change your mind. But to destroy happens very quickly. Think very carefully before we make a decision to destroy that which has been built.